Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Adoption Focus. My name is Jennifer Jaworski and I'm a social worker with Adoption Associates of Michigan. This is Adoption Associates' premier talk radio blog show. Adoption Associates was founded in 1990 and we specialize in both domestic and international adoption. We provide private adoption services throughout all of Michigan with offices that are located in Jenison, Lansing, Farmington Hills, and the Freeland, Mid-Michigan, Saginaw area. Anywhere in Michigan, you can find a connection to Adoption Associates. Adoption Associates brings knowledge, support, and understanding in adoption. Adoption is not only our specialty, but it truly is our passion. And one of Adoption Associates' commitments is to this weekly podcast to help educate and support adoptive families, birth families, and the adoption community. So we are very grateful to you, our listener, for being with us today. We are on what we're affectionately calling take two. We had a little bit of a snafu last week with our podcast, and so excited to be able to offer this from the beginning, brand new to you today. And we are talking about overcoming failed adoptions. And we have a very interesting story, and we're going to kind of hear one couple's experience with failed adoption. And I want to go ahead and welcome to the show today, Alicia. I believe you are with us.
I am. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for coming back and sticking with me to do this a second time.
Absolutely.
What a trooper you were last week. So let's... I'm a really intrigued by your story, and I know that we have others that are as well and are looking forward to hearing about your experience and your journey. And so I think it would be best if we could give our listeners some background information before we discuss some of the details. So when did you and your husband first begin pursuing adoption?
Ryan and I began pursuing adoption in probably 2014-15. We started looking into the options, talking with different agencies, just kind of weighing our options to see what direction we wanted to go in.
Mm-hmm. And you did make a decision there to work with an agency that was out of state.
We did. We signed up with an agency in 2016 that was located in Chicago. We chose the agency because we had heard that they had quick success rates. There wasn't going to be a long wait, that the success rate was supposed to be super good, and the cost was not going to be outrageous. Well, that being said, it's not the way it happened.
Okay. And I think that you're not unique in that experience, unfortunately. We do hear from other couples who have experienced the same thing. But nonetheless, so let's talk about what happened for you guys at that point. You've selected an agency out of state, and you are getting your home study completed, and then kind of fast forward a bit and tell our listeners what happened next.
Okay, so we signed up in 2016. In January of 2017, so we'd been listed for a year with this agency. January 2017, we were connected with an expectant mom who was due the beginning of February. So we spent that next month just chatting with her, getting to know her, getting everything ready at home. We were preparing to take a baby home at that point. That baby, little girl, was born February 4, 2017. We were fortunate to be able to be at the hospital. I was actually be the first one to do skin-to-skin with her. We spent the entire hospital visit time with that baby in our room. And after the couple of days, we did take that baby home. And we began our life. We started that process and started filing all the paperwork. And then we hit some snafus. And about 8 weeks in, the expectant mom, the birth mom, she chose to parent, and she came and picked that baby up from my house, and I will never forget that night. That was a very low point in our adoption journey.
I can only imagine.
The beginning of our adoption journey.
Right. I mean, this is for many couples a worst case scenario. I mean, this is the one
Absolutely.
Thing if you can think about, this is let anything happen but this. And
yeah.
So you mentioned that there were some snafus. I mean, or with the snafus, what led to her decision, or was this really the snafu in and of itself?
No, we had some issues with our background checks with the state. She kept contacting our lawyer that we had been working with, and every time she would call the lawyer, he would stop everything he was doing on our end. So all of our paperwork, he'd stop because he felt she was not going to go through with it. And it was like, well, we hired you. This is that she wasn't even hit. He wasn't her lawyer. We had a different lawyer hired for her, and it was just a lot of red flags looking back.
Okay.
That if I had seen them before, I would have done things a lot differently, unfortunately.
Yeah. And at that time, you know, you were taking care of a baby and feeling frustrated about the process that was before you. So we'll get into some more of these details, but for the sake of kind of helping our listeners to understand, let's kind of continue on, if you will, Alicia, and talk about what happened after this very difficult fall through for you and your husband.
Okay, so right after that all happened, we kind of took a little bit of time, but we asked our agency to keep showing us. In October of 2017, so almost 6 months later, we were presented with an expectant mom who was located in Louisiana, because the agency we had signed up for worked with states, obviously, all over the country, not just Michigan or not just Illinois. So they connected us with an expectant mom who was due within a couple of days, and we were all set. We paid some lawyer fees. We had got everything set up to head down, packed our vehicle. We were ready to go, just waiting for the call to say, okay, it's time. And then that call never came. And unfortunately, I found this expectant mom, this first mom, on Facebook about a week after her due date and realized she had had the baby and chose to parent. So, yeah.
And having
to
find
out. Okay, unpack the car. And
oh, my goodness. Well, Alicia, you say, okay, unpack the car. But, I mean, we know that that's not what that was really like for you guys. And,
right.
And to have to find that out through Facebook, too. I mean, I'm sure that played a part of the grief that you must have been experiencing to find it out in that way.
Absolutely. It was not easy because no one, she wouldn't respond to our agency. She wouldn't respond to our lawyer. She wouldn't respond to anyone, and to have to, like, to me, I had to do all the legwork. Our agency was not helpful in doing any of that, and it was like, well, why do I have to do all this? You guys connected us, but again, lesson learned.
It was just the way that it was, for those, for that particular organization.
Yep.
So, okay, so now here you are with two fall-throughs.
Yep.
And I know so, I can almost sense our listeners going, oh, my gosh, what happened next? Did they stop their adoption? How did they carry on? And so you did carry on. Spoiler alert for those that are listening. Go ahead and talk about what happened next for you.
Yep. So within a couple of weeks after that, another expectant mom had reached out to us via our profile on the agency's website. So we began creating a relationship with her that was probably end of November of 2017. She was supposed to be due like the end of December 2017. That time frame came and went. We were still communicating. We were still talking. Then she kept changing her due date. And we were like, okay, you know. The original due date came from the website. And we're like, well, you know. So we kind of, I continued to love on this girl. We texted probably daily. Created an amazing relationship with her, talking and texting and all of that. But come to find out, come February 15th, to be exact, February 15th, 2018, when we finally started to ask for proof of pregnancy, she sent me an ultrasound. And after doing some digging, it ended up being a Google image of an ultrasound. It wasn't even a real ultrasound. She was never even pregnant. So...
So here you are faced with another reality that is not what you wanted.
Yeah, yep. She was not even pregnant. So we're like, okay, well, now what?
Were you still feeling what you described from previous in terms of support or lack thereof or connectedness with the agency that you were using during this phase of kind of finding out that this was not even a true pregnancy?
Yeah, there was definitely not support there from us. And I think it was even harder being that we were out of state. But anytime I would reach out to them, they're like, well, we've tried to reach out to her and she's not getting back to us. And I just didn't feel like they had our best interests at heart. I didn't feel like they were really invested. They got our money. We paid them a large sum up front. And so they got our money. Well, what do they, you know, they got that. They didn't have to do anything else. So just, yeah, we definitely, and I pushed for more support from them and they just weren't willing to do anything else for us.
I am so sorry for you guys. But that was not the end of your story, end of your adoption journey. So carry on, if you will.
Yep. So it was probably 2 weeks after this because they kept showing our profile. We said, you know what, let's keep on. We're going to keep going. We want to grow our family. And so 2 weeks later, we were connected with another expectant mom down in Tennessee. This was a younger girl. She was already parenting a one-year-old and was about 6 months pregnant at this point. And just, she says, I know I can't parent another child. My boyfriend or my ex-boyfriend just said it's not his. So we don't want, you know, we want to make an adoption plan. So going forward, we created a really good relationship with her. I talked to her every couple of days. We made plans to just meet when we got down to Tennessee. She ended up, so fast forward, she was due in April, and she had two false, like, labor scares. So we packed the car, headed down two separate times, and we got one, the first time we got down to about Ohio, and she's like, oh, they're sending me home. Okay, well, we turned around and went back home.
Wow.
So a couple days later, she texted and said, oh, I'm going in, and we headed down. We didn't even make it out of Michigan that night. We made it to about the border and turned right back around and came home. And then probably that night, she's like, oh, they changed my due date. They pushed me back a couple weeks. So I got home, unpacked the car. I'm like, okay, we're just going to wait. I think that Thursday, she called and said, head down. And I'm like, what do you mean head down? And she's like, I just had the baby at home in my bathroom. So I called my husband home from work. Yeah. She's a 19-year-old girl, has a baby at home in her bathroom with her one-year-old at home. They were home alone.
Wow.
She calls and says, so I called my husband home. We quick packed the car because I had unpacked it, and we headed down. So we had about an 8-hour trip down to Clarksville, Tennessee. We got down there about 8 o'clock at night, spent the night in the hospital. Spent a couple hours with that birth mom and also the dad. Then we finally got our own room, spent the night in the hospital with that baby, loved on her, shared the news with just our closest family and friends. We woke up the next morning to her text saying, hey, can you meet my mom in the lobby? We're like, yeah, absolutely. It was her mom's birthday, and she wanted to see the baby. And her mom came out and said, she's not going through with it. She's changed her mind. The dad knows it's the baby's his. He's seen her. We went back and we said, fine. Like, I think that was probably the angriest I was. I just said, whatever. I walked out of the room. We packed our stuff in the hospital room and went down to our car, called our lawyer, called the agency. And they're like, don't leave town. Let's figure this out. And so we kind of hung around in the area for that day because that happened pretty early in the morning. And by like 3-4 o'clock that day, I'm like, you guys aren't going to get anywhere. You're not going to change this girl's mind. I respect that. She chose to parent. So we just packed our car and headed home empty handed once more.
Wow.
Yeah.
Your story is truly, truly amazing to me, and that you're sharing it with us. I know I've thanked you, but I want to do so again because I know this isn't easy for you, but it's just, I'm a bit speechless, to be honest with you. This is, if I'm following your timeline, that's 4 fall throughs in 2 years.
Yep. Yep. Just
correct?
Actually from January 17 to April of 2018. Yep.
Not even 2 years. So,
nope.
Yeah, I would say that this is not what we hear very often, and it is certainly every family's truest, biggest concern going into adoption. So we're almost there in your timeline, and things are going to kind of perk us up here in a minute. So go ahead, would you please, and so that our listeners aren't too terribly saddened by your story, let's kind of round out what happened ultimately.
So on our way home from Tennessee, my husband and I really, we hadn't had a trip, just the two of us. So we kind of turned the end of that negative experience into a vacation for the two of us. We ended up going to the Ark Encounter in Kentucky and really spent some time focusing on each other and focusing on what God's plan for us was to continue. Did he want us to just say, you know what, maybe we aren't meant to have kids? But on the car ride home after leaving the Ark, I emailed Tara, who has been our caseworker at the Jennison office. And I said, okay, I think we're ready to switch agencies. Our contract was up, almost up with our agency in Chicago. And we just felt like we needed to be somewhere that they do their due diligence and take care of the expectant moms, but also the adoptive parents. There's a lot more support. There's time spent with these expectant moms to make sure that this is even a path that these girls want to go down to ensure that there isn't all of this heartbreak and the education
Yes. Thank you. And just for clarification purposes for those listeners right now, when you say you reached out to Tara, Tara is with Adoption Associates. She's one of our fantastic caseworkers. And you know Tara because, correct me if I'm wrong, she completed a home study for you because you are a Michigan resident and Adoption Associates is a Michigan agency. And so despite the fact that you were pursuing these potential adoption links through an out-of-state agency, you still needed a home study to be done in Michigan. Am I understanding the relationship with Tara?
Nope. We had met with Tara between one of our failed adoptions earlier on because we had considered switching agencies then, but then they had presented us with another expectant mom. So we kind of said, oh, no, maybe it's not the time. So we had met Tara then. We had used an agency in Grand Rapids to do our home study.
Okay.
Not Adoption Associates.
Okay. And so you had previously received information and had a meeting with Adoption Associates to learn about. Perfect.
Yeah.
So you reached out to Tara because now you've made this decision that you want to change agencies. And you did indeed do that. And then what happened next?
We did. We switched agencies. We started all of our paperwork in May of 2018. We went live as an active waiting family July 25th of 2018. August 25th of 2018, we received a call. The expectant mom wanted to talk to us.
Oh, my goodness. And I'm thinking, you get that call and you're excited, but are you also really conflicted? Haven't had four terrible experiences?
So guarded.
Yeah.
So guarded. The nerves. We met with this expectant mom on September 6th. We met at Applebee's in Granville and had a conversation with her. And it was the most incredible experience because not only was she there, but the birth mom caseworker. So she had someone there supporting her who was advocating for her rights and to help her kind of navigate as well. And at that meeting, she gave us an ultrasound picture and said, "It's you guys. I would love to parent my child." And our sweet Anna Grace was born December 6th.
Yay.
Of 2018.
Aww. I hear your emotion, Alicia.
Yeah. And she was so worth the wait.
Aww.
So when they say absolutely, it's worth the wait, it really is.
And, you know, I want to ask you, you talk about, you know, you got the call a month later after you were active with the agency, and then you met her within a week or two, it sounds like. And obviously, yeah, you were guarded. But once you met her, did this feel differently than in the other cases? And 100%. How so?
There was just a sense of peace. There was just a natural kind of flow of conversations. We did.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't lack for a relationship. We saw her. We met her that day in September. We met up with her in October, her and her son that she's parenting. Her and I went and got pedicures in November. And then we got to be at the hospital when Anna was born. I got to cut the cord. I got to stand next to her as she delivered this precious gift. It was definitely the most surreal experience.
Sure it was. Sure it was. And so having one fall through for any couple is extremely emotionally challenging. Some couples do their own work to make that decision whether or not to move forward, to continue, and, you know, kind of reevaluate their plan. And it sounds like you guys did that for sure. You talked about doing that then after that fourth fall through. But I do want to talk about the fact that you went through that four times. You really overcame not one, not two, not three, but four of these. And so maybe not an area you ever expected to be the expert on, but I believe that you are. So I want to talk about the emotional implications of this for you and your husband. I mean, really brutally honestly, what was it like for you to have experienced this time and time again?
It was not easy. It was a lot of kind of sorting through, did we do something wrong? What happened? Did I say something wrong? Did we just not meet, like, especially when we met a couple of the expected months, like, did we not come across the way we should have? What did we do wrong? Are we meant to be parents? There's a lot of those. And then the questions from family and friends and the answering, sometimes it just got to a point where we would avoid going to things because we didn't want to have to talk about it again. We didn't want to have to, show up empty handed to another event. But I think it definitely brought my husband and I closer because we had to work through it together. We were living day to day with an empty nursery, and there were days that we just shut the door because we couldn't face it. But then there were days there was hope, and it was like, okay, maybe this is the time. But it was definitely a roller coaster. But
yeah, I can see that it would have been for sure. So, you know, you said to me off air at one point that you found yourself in the role of cheerleader. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yep, absolutely. I feel like, especially with my husband, and I love him dearly, and he is amazing. And but I felt like sometimes I was the one picking everyone up around me, like encouraging them when they would be angry or they would be disappointed or discouraged. And I'd be like, no, you know what? We're going to keep moving. We're going to keep going, and we're just going to find the joy and find the reason and see what God is going to do through this journey. And I was the one just like, okay, we're going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But there were days that I'd go home and be like, okay, I'm tired. Like, someone needs to pick me up once in a while.
Yes.
And so I found a tribe of women that are adoptive moms or waiting adoptive moms. And I think that tribe has definitely been what I needed to get through this journey as well.
Nice.
So it's amazing where God placed the right people at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
Just when I was like, there's no way I can do this anymore, but I can.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, that was something I wanted to ask about too, is each step along the way, you know, you mentioned it bringing you and your husband closer together, but how emotionally challenging this was, but ultimately you never gave up. Why is that, you think?
I think 100% our faith. I think that God has definitely lifted us and let us keep on this journey, because I think that if our journey, and I've said this all along, if our story and our discouragements along the way, if it can bring someone along or just have someone else's faith strengthened through our story, or if we can walk alongside someone through their struggle, our struggle and our disappointments have been worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're in it to help others. We can't do it alone. And it's a matter of finding that village and finding people who get it. And you can walk alongside them as well.
I know that you mentioned earlier in our conversation some financial implications. And it sounds like this was an issue for you and Ryan as well, that each step with every emotional loss and fall through you had, you also had a financial loss. And we don't have to go too depth into this, but I'd like to give you an opportunity if you'd like to talk a little bit more about that piece.
Yep. Well, like I said earlier, we had a large upfront fee with our first agency, and that covered a 2-year contract. But each time we were connected, we had lawyer fees, we had travel fees, we had agency fees, because a lot of times when we connected out of state, obviously, you have to find lawyers in each of those states.
Mm-hmm.
So the only one we never paid lawyer fees for was the one in Ohio, because we had a real unsettled feeling. We had had contacted a lawyer down there, but just hadn't paid anything because we were like, we just wanted to wait until we had that proof of pregnancy. But there was definitely lawyer fees with each one. There was, yeah.
So do you feel, I guess I'm curious, at the beginning, did you feel that you understood the way those fees would kind of fall into place, that you or that you would need to find an attorney every time you went to a different state, and that there would be separate fees involved? Was there a full understanding on your part and Ryan's part about what that would look like financially?
No, absolutely not. The agency was definitely not real upfront about, okay, well, you're paying this much, but you're still going to have all of these fees in the other states and all of these costs. And no, they were definitely more forthcoming, saying, okay, this is our flat fee, and then we're going to help you find a baby. Well, it didn't work out that way.
When you met with Tara and you began to make the switch to Adoption Associates, I could only imagine that this fee thing would be something that was nerve-wracking for you too, and that maybe you wanted to pay more attention to. And so what was your experience in that regard, in terms of understanding fees with Adoption Associates?
They were completely upfront. It was really nice to have it kind of laid out so we knew what we were getting into, because we didn't get anything back from our agency in Illinois, because they just take your money. But with Adoption Associates, they lay everything out. They say, okay, so this is what it's going to cost each step of the way. And there's no surprise fees. There's nothing hidden. It just was really nice to know what we were looking for, to know where we had to save, what we had coming. And our connection with Anna's birth mom allowed us time to kind of gather the funds that we needed and come up with, so there wasn't any like shock factor. Our family was incredibly generous in helping us reach those final funds at the end to be able to cover all of our costs. So
nice. So, this is a complete understatement on my part, but I mean, your journey, your ultimate journey to Anna Grace and to your adoption with her was obviously not easy. But I'm wondering what you discovered through this really incredible process.
Oh, some of that, that's hard to just choose one thing.
You don't have to choose just one.
I guess one of the biggest takeaways from this journey is you can't do it alone. You have to find, and I said that earlier, you have to find people who are supporting you and who are on the same journey and who get what you're going through but can support you emotionally so that you're not alone. Because parenting is tough, but parenting through adoption is even another layer, and it's just a really it's just a real true blessing to have those around us that support us as well as they do. And we're not alone in this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What would your message be to a prospective adoptive couple that may be listening right now that is either really scared of this whole fall through thing or maybe has experienced a fall through already themselves? What message do you have to those people? And then maybe to those who are just saying, I don't even think I can do adoption because this piece is just too scary for us.
Oh, it's super scary, but really you can do it. And if this is the path that you're choosing, you're on that path for a reason. It's not, and you may be in that expectant mom's life for a reason at that time. Looking back over our journey, I know that there was a reason with our first one that we had that baby home for 8 weeks. There was a reason that we were connected with that expectant mom in Tennessee. And I think our encouragement of her allowed her the opportunity to parent. As much as it hurts us, there's obviously a purpose for that. And it's worth it. It really, it's so cliche to say that it's worth the wait. And when you meet that expectant mom and you hold that baby that's meant to be yours, you just know there's a complete sense of peace. Yes, you will hold your breath until those papers are signed, but once that baby is in your arms, nothing else matters. That pain, that those scars are still there from each fall through, but the pain diminishes and it's easier to talk about and it's easier to put a smile on your face every day and get, just keep moving.
Wow. Your story is just so powerful, I think, Alicia, and so unique and amazing. And there's so much here. I mean, we've talked about emotional implications. We've talked about financial implications. We've talked about kind of procedural stuff with the agency. I would say that if you could pick your top couple of things that in retrospect you now know are really important when it comes to selecting an agency or choosing an adoption provider, what message would that be?
I think the biggest things that we've learned that you need to find an agency who is going to do their due diligence to make sure that these expectant moms are taken care of, to make sure there's post-placement care for these expectant moms. And I think those are the biggest things, because in the end, it's not really about us adoptive parents, because without those expectant parents, we wouldn't be adoptive parents.
Nice. Yes, you're absolutely right. Every
right?
piece of
you know?
This is important. I mean, support to a family such as yours and support to the birth mom and really caring about all the participants in an adoption, we think is very, very important.
Absolutely.
Alicia, I can't thank you enough. I appreciate you so much for your patience with the techie stuff and then, you know, walking us through what was in a very emotional time in your life to where you are now. So just tell us a little bit about about Anna Grace and your family. For those of you that are listening, we will have a picture of Anna Grace and her mom and dad on our Facebook page later today. But what do you want to tell us about your beautiful little girl before we go?
Oh, it is amazing. She grows so fast. When they say they grow fast, oh my goodness. She's just 3 months old. She comes to work with me every day, which is so much fun because I can go peek in on her anytime I want. And it is just the most amazing thing. Last night I was in the bathroom and I can hear my husband out reading Bible stories to her. And it just, to know that that's happening in my living room is just, it's just warms my heart every day. And we have an amazing relationship with Anna's birth mom. We are so proud of her and her decision, but she's also become part of our family. We didn't adopt just to get a baby. We adopted because we knew we'd gain an extended family, and we've gained that, and we are so blessed by all of that.
Your story is just fantastically wrought with every emotion that there could possibly be.
Yeah.
And so grateful to you for being here today and looking forward to sharing your information on Facebook so that our listeners can take a glimpse as well at your beautiful family. Thank you very much for today.
Absolutely. I'm glad I could be here.
And so for those of you that are listening, if you're interested in learning more about Adoption Associates or asking us some questions about our domestic adoption program, we would be happy to hear from you at 800-677-2367. You can also connect with Adoption Associates through our website, adoptionassociates.net, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can reach us as well. And we will be continuing our adoption focus programming every other Tuesday. Please continue to look for posts on Facebook about upcoming episodes. And any ideas that you have about a topic you'd like to hear in the future, we'd be happy to hear that as well. Thank you again, Alicia.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jennifer.
For now, this is Jennifer on Adoption Focus. I hope you all have a great day. Bye-bye.